Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning on this very cold Arab Shabbos day. Just want to give everybody chizuk, those who make the effort to come to shir in person, especially on a short Friday, and those who listen online. Someone reached out to me. This is a text from Montreal. Okay, a few weeks ago, the beginning of Arab Shabbos shir classes, you spoke about Hadlakas Neiros, the connection to the time of the Beis Hamikdash. I couldn't help but think of the Hiratzon we say right after the Bracha, which is related to the building of the Beis Hamikdash. The new class on Shabbos is tremendous. It's like my own Shabbos treat. Thank you. So that's from Montreal. So it's really chizuk to everybody who, I sent it to your mother. I said, I just want to share some chizuk with you, but also to everyone who makes the effort to come. Because if you weren't coming, I wouldn't know what to talk to, and then we would not be zochet to be mechazik people, not only ourselves, but also in many other places, Baruch Hashem. So we are on page 15. Please open it up to page 15. I'm just going to make a bracha, okay? While we're doing that, Baruch HaTatan, neither hinu malach, neither chok, neither good morning. Page 15. Okay, we're at the bottom. Right at the bottom, Shabbos preparations are personal. So we're zocha to partially prepare for Shabbos by attending a shir about preparing for Shabbos. What does it mean to prepare for Shabbos? Okay, so I'm going to begin with quoting from Rav Soloveitchik about preparing. What does it mean to prepare for Shabbos? Here we go. Rav Soloveitchik says, all the preparations that one is expected to perform in honor of Shabbos are in truth, interestingly, barred from the requirements of tefillah. They are both manifestations of standing before the king. Where am I? So both tefillah and Shabbos are manifestations of standing before the king. Kabbalah Shabbos is akin to going out to greet the king, and tefillah is considered standing before the king. In this respect, they are equal, Shabbos and tefillah, and therefore they both require proper preparation. You're supposed to think before you pick up the siddur and daven. I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking to you. So let's take, you know, the Hasidim used to prepare an hour, 2 hours before tefillah. For us, if we prepare for a minute, just to have an idea that we're standing before the king. In this respect, Shabbos and Tefillah are equal. It is interesting to note, listen to this, because we've been discussing this repeatedly, that the Rambam refers to the Shabbos king, and not the more familiar Shabbos queen. This has been coming up repeatedly in our class. He says that it indicates that the encounter with Shabbos, like Tefillah, involves standing before the king. So when you daven, you're standing before, and you're beseeching, and you're pleading with, and you're thanking the king. Shabbos is also standing before the king. It is lamentable that in contemporary times, even in those neighborhoods made up of predominantly religious Jews, we can no longer talk about the sanctity of Shabbos. True, there are Jews in America who observe Shabbos, but it is not for Shabbos that my heart aches. It is for the forgotten Erev Shabbos that my heart aches. There are Shabbos observing Jews in America, but there are no Erev Shabbos Jews who go out to greet Shabbos with beating hearts and pulsating souls. He speaks about in a different piece how the poor porters in the town of Koslovich, how they were bent over and they wore tattered garments, how they prepared for Shabbos, how they waited for Shabbos, and on Shabbos they looked like royalty. There are many who observe the precepts with their hands, with their feet, and with their mouths. So they observe the mitzvahs, they observe the commandments, but there are few indeed who truly know the meaning of the service of the heart. So he's talking here about service of the heart. Typically when we say avodah shebalev, tainus tu'e, what we're talking about is tefillah. Ezehi avodah shebalev, havei omer zohi tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik says both tefillah and Shabbos require preparation. Both tefillah and Shabbos, you're standing before the king, and both tefillah and Shabbos, you can't just jump into. You think about cramming for a test. If you don't prepare for the test, you're not going to be ready for the test. You need to have proper preparation. Even before Matan Torah, this week we're starting Parsha Shmos and Sefer Shmos. Before Matan Torah, Hashem said that the people had to prepare. A little bit more from Rav Soloveitchik. The Gemara recounts Shabbos, Masechah Shabbos, Chof Hei, Amud Beis, that Shabbos Eve preparations of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli, he would wash his hands, his feet, his face with hot water. He would wrap himself in a linen talus in order to resemble a heavenly angel. The Rambam cites this Gemara and writes that one must wash his face, hands, and feet with hot water. One must wrap himself in a talus. One must solemnly wait for Shabbos as one would wait for the greeting of a king. In former times on Erev Shabbos, the Chazal, the sages, would wrap themselves in a talus, gather their students together, and exclaim, let's go out and greet the king. It is striking that the Rambam describes greeting Shabbos with almost the exact same lashon as required for preparing for tefillah. So there's a component of avodah shebalev when it comes to tefillah, and there's a component of avodah shebalev when it comes to Shabbos, which also teaches you something beautiful when it comes to tefillah. What's the avodah shebelev? By external action, everyone does. Everyone covers their eyes. Everyone says the exact same words. Everyone claps by slachon. But avodah shebelev means it's personal. Your heart in prayer is not the same as the other person's heart in prayer, which means that your heart in the Shabbos preparation, even though it might look like we're all doing the same thing, is really not the same as you are emotionally waiting to greet the king. It is striking that the Rambam describes greeting Shabbos like he describes preparing for tefillah, because in Hilchos Tefillah he states you should prepare yourself for morning prayers by washing your face, hands, and feet, which is the same lashon that he uses for preparing for Shabbos. Just as one prepares for Shabbos by wrapping yourself in your linen talis, so too tefillah requires wrapping yourself in special clothing. Just as one should sit solemnly and await the onset of Shabbos, one must put himself in a serious frame of mind when he prepares for tefillah. So that is our introduction to the class. So we're on the bottom of page 15.
That was, you were quoting the Rambam, right?
That was quoting the Rambam, yeah.
Today's
Rambam's your tape. I did not know that. Wow. Okay. Zchuso yagin aleinu. Very, very nice. Look, hashgacha. I did not do that on purpose. I did not even realize that we were beginning like that. Wow. I was by his kever in Eretz Yisrael this past summer. Wow. Rav Salavitchik says that without the Rambam, I wouldn't have a job. Okay. What does it mean to prepare for Shabbos? So we just saw Rav Salavitcher quoting the Rambam. It means to prepare for greeting the king. You must wash your hands, you must wash your face, you must wash your feet, you must put yourself in the proper frame of mind. You are going to greet the king, avodah shebelev. Let us consider the bottom of page 15. Let us consider, for instance, the mitzvah to clean the house of chametz before Pesach. If we fail to search our homes and remove the chametz, it would be a sin, even a grave sin. Okay, and also, like we said already, I think, which I'm not sure that he adds here, but I think you can't cram it. You can't wait till the last second, because otherwise you're not going to be ready. But it wouldn't be an insult. However, if someone neglects to fulfill the mitzvah of shining his shoes for Shabbos, It is not only a sin, it is also an insult to Shabbos to Hashem. Why, perhaps, is there a difference? I was thinking, I don't know if it's correct, but I think, Salvechik says, elsewhere, on Shabbos, Hashem comes to your house. On the Shalosh Regalim, we go to Hashem's house. Not today, unfortunately, we don't come out of the regal. We nechateinu galenu maratzenu. But the difference is that on the Shalosh Regalim, we go to Hashem's house. Hashem's house is prepared for us. Shabbos, Hashem comes to our house. So in a sense, if you don't prepare your home and you don't get rid of the chametz, chas v'sham, so it's an avera, but Hashem's not coming to your house, kaviyachol, so to speak. You're going to his house is prepared, so it's an avera, but you're not insulting the one who came to your house. You didn't prepare for the guest, but the guest isn't coming to you. But Shabbos, it's twofold. Number one, you have the mitzvah of zachar and shamar and hachana, but number two, the guest is coming. So therefore, it's an insult on top of injury. It's like going to a wedding wearing filthy shoes or an old beat-up jacket with a big stain right in the middle. Such a person has slighted the chasan. You're not only embarrassing yourself, you're embarrassing the Baal Simcha. There's a story told over in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim by Rabbi M. Yashar that his son-in-law one time was going out. There was a stain on his jacket. So the Chavetz Chaim said to his son-in-law, a Talmud Chacham who goes out with a stain on his jacket is Chayiv Misa. So the son-in-law said, I'm not such a Talmud Chacham. So the Chavetz Chaim said, for Chil Hashem, you're enough of a Talmud Chacham. So you might think I'm not on that level. I'm not such a person. For Chil Hashem, all of us. So when it comes to Shabbos, Hashem's coming to everyone's house. And you have to make sure you're properly prepared. When Shabbos comes, a chasen is here. Imagine if you really had a chasen coming to your house. You would know how you would prepare. You know how you would feel. You know how anxious and excited and clean the house would be. And everybody would look perfect and impeccable. That's Shabbos. That's Hashem. This is the essence of Shabbos. It's interesting, he says chasen, and we just spoke about the Rambam, who says the Shabbos king. When we polish our shoes on Friday afternoon, when you polish your silver, when you set the table, it's in his honor. It's personal. When we prepare a Shabbos meal, or you set the table, you remember in whose honor we'll be serving food. Even yesterday, I was preparing some of the food for today, and I was trying to think to myself, when I was preparing the vegetables, I was thinking, you should think to yourself, invest your food with the mitzvah. Hani Machos used to do that. If you read her book, you know that she did it all the time. So I try. If you write on top of the foil pan, the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, when we prepare Shabbos most at the table, we remember in whose honor we are serving this food. We think of who, capital W, not only your physical guest, but the Ribono Shel Olam will be present in our home for the meal. So I think that really answers why Rav Shimshon Pinchas might say it's not an insult if you don't clean the house for Pesach. It's an avera, but not an insult. And the answer is because on the Shalosh Regalim I got Hashem's house, but on Shabbos he comes to my house. If he's coming to my house, that I prepare. One reason we don't feel the presence of Shabbos is because we don't know how to greet her. We don't give her the welcome she deserves. But if we work on this, which clearly in this class we are trying to do, we will feel the. And it takes, it's such an avodah, it takes a long time. You know, I'm teaching a Shmiras Halashon class every other week, every other Monday morning. And then we started in the fall of 2015. And it takes time. But it's something that we're working on. We must work on this. You will feel the holiness. Wherever Madrega we are, obviously the point of learning and working is to increase our Madrega. We'll feel the holiness of Shabbos much more. This feeling will open up the great fountain of bracha that Shabbos is showering goodness and blessing all week long. So I just want to quote from the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that talks about different preparations that a Chazal would make in order to welcome the Shabbos. So I'm in Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Yud Tes, Amud Aleph, 119a. So the Gemara returns to the topic of honoring Shabbos. But it actually talks about the preparations that they would, Chazal would do for Shabbos. So Rabbi Chanina would wrap himself in his finery. Rabbi Chanina, is this what I want to tell you? Yes. Rabbi Chanina ma'atei mi'ataf v'kai apnei demale Shabbos. So he would wrap himself in his finery. He would stand towards the evening on Friday and he would say, Bo neitzei likra Shabbos kamalka. So here's the Shabbos queen. Let us go out and let us greet the Shabbos queen. Rabbi Yana would put on a Shabbos coat on Friday and say, Bowie kala, Bowie kala. So in our sefer, connected to the Rambam of Salvezha, we just spoke about the Shabbos king and the chasan. Here we're talking about the queen and the bride. The Gemara tells of the special foods prepared by one of the Amoraim for Shabbos. We're talking about Shabbos preparation. You can't come to Shabbos and then say, oh, now what am I going to start doing? We must prepare. You can't come to the exam and say, okay, now I'm going to start praying. When the teacher gives you the paper, that's when you're going to start preparing. When you come to the wedding, you call mom to the wedding, now you're going to start preparing. You're going to have nothing. Rabba bar Rav Huna visited the home of Rabba bar Rav Nachman. Karivu le talas sa'ave tache. They brought before him 3 sa'a of oiled wafers. Surprised by this lavishness, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said to the members of the household, did you know that I was coming? They said to him, are you more important to us than in Shabbos? The loaves were prepared in honor of Shabbos. You happened to arrive to join us. So he thought it was for him. They said, we didn't prepare these oil loaves for you. We prepared them for Shabbos. The Gemara recounts how various sages used to honor the Shabbos with preparation. So this is specifically talking about not on the Shabbos, but getting ready for Shabbos. Here we go. Rabbi Abba would buy meat from 13 butchers for 13 common astiras. So the footnote says, 1 astira's worth of meat he would buy from each of 13 butchers. So he would be sure to dine on Shabbos from the choicest meat available. Okay, so we're not going to start running around to 13 butchers, but it gives you the idea. Now, whatever you buy for Shabbos, you're honoring the Shabbos. You're not going to lose out. You would go to 13 butchers. It describes how much a astira is. Astira is a selah, etc. So he would buy from 13 butchers. He would deliver to the pivot door of his kitchen staff, and he would say to them, be energetic and hurry. Be energetic and hurry. Ashur hayat, Aramaic. Ashur hayat, be energetic and hurry. Be energetic and hurry to cook the meat before more arrives. The footnote. Rabbi Abba, after buying the meat from one butcher, would proceed home with that. He would get to the front door. He would hand it to his cooks. It's also interesting. We don't tend to think of, like, you know, 2,000 years ago that this was going on. But it's interesting. He had a kitchen staff, and he would give it to his cooks, command them to hurry to prepare it. He would immediately go back to the market to buy more meat. Alternatively, Rabbi Abba would have his meat delivered to his doorstep. He would leave the money next to the pivot of his door, so the butcher would take the money and leave the meat. When they arrived, Rabbi Abba would call out to them to make haste with their delivery, hurry back to their shop to prepare more items for the sale of Shabbos. According to both explanations, whether he went to the market and gave it to the staff or the butcher delivered and he left the money, according to both explanations, a sense of urgency that accompanied the purchase and preparation of the food were intended to demonstrate his esteem for Shabbos. The grander the occasion, the more people are in a frenzy to prepare for it. So that's what Rabbi Abba would do. What about Rabbi Abahu? Rabbi Abahu would sit on a stool of ivory and fan the fire used to cook for Shabbos. So again, this is all Arab Shabbos preparation. To light a wood fire, one place is... I know you were there, but I watched a little bit of the video. I saw Shatenstein reciting the Kaddish at the Siyum HaShas. My brother told me where the dancing started, so I watched a little bit before the dancing. I mean, the Schuss It's mamish unfathomable. To light a wood fire, one places small thin pieces of wood next to the larger log, ignites the small pieces, and fans the flame till the fire spread. Rabbi Abahu would do this, not a servant. But it's important that it said, if you remember, he would sit on a stool of ivory. That's not stam, the Chazal tell you that. What they're showing you is that he was a prominent and very wealthy person because he sat on an ivory stool. And even though he was prominent and wealthy, he would perform this lowly task. Instead of telling his servants to fan the flames so that the fire would grow to cook for Shabbos, he himself would sit on his fancy stool and he would do it. What about Rav Anan? Rav Anan would put on a... What was that?
Kitchen.
Oh, Rav Anan would put on a black smock. Why? Art Scroll explains, to demonstrate this was not a day for keeping clean and neat. Rather, it was a day for cooking food for Shabbos. So, in other words, the black smock indicates, I know I'm going to be doing, you put on an apron maybe, okay? Or you put on, a cooking skirt so your dice skirt doesn't get dirty. But that's brought down in the Gemara. He was showing that your clothes might become soiled, but that's a good thing. It means you are preparing for Shabbos. A brisa of the Academy of Rav Yishmael taught, Begadim shabisha behen kidei l'rabbo, the garments in which you cook a pot of food for your master, al yimzog behen kos l'rabbo. This is Hebrew, we could understand. Begadim shabishel behen kidei l'rabbo, the food in which you, the clothing which you wore to cook in a pot food for your master, al yimzog behen kos l'rabbo, you don't serve your master in those same clothing. So what does that mean? You wear different clothing Erev Shabbos, but it's not to demean Erev Shabbos, it's to show I'm busy with my preparation. I realize that when I'm preparing, I think for a woman this is very meaningful. When you're in the kitchen, it's probably inevitable that what you're wearing, if you're busy with cooking, is going to get dirty. So you saw Rav Anan would understand this. He would put on a black smock, you might understand to be an apron, because the food that you cook in the food, the clothing that you cook in the pot, the clothing you wear when you cook food in a pot, should not be the clothing you wear when you serve the master wine. So you change for Shabbos. You get dirty every Shabbos. Good. It's beautiful. What about Rav Safra? Machrich Resha. He would singe the head of the animal being prepared for the Shabbos meal. Footnote. If an animal has been slaughtered for Shabbos and its head needs to be singed, Rav Safra would perform the task himself. So not his servants, he himself. Animal heads are singed to remove hair from them before cooking. So who would do it? Rav Safra himself. What about Rava? Malach Shibuta. He would salt the Shibuta fish for the Shabbos meal. What was the Shibuta fish? A large type of fish eaten in Babylon. So what you see from this is that they did not delegate these menial labor tasks. Someone else could salt the fish. Someone else could singe the head of the animal. Someone else could, your maid could put on an apron and cook, and you could look beautiful. You don't have to look like a shmata. And somebody else could certainly fan the fire. But Chazal want to show you the importance. What are they showing you? This is, we're not on Shabbos yet. What are we doing? Preparing. So it's very halak. And I think to women, we shouldn't think, oh, I have something better that I could be doing when I'm in the kitchen cooking for Shabbos. It's not true. Apparently, there's nothing better you could be doing. You are preparing to greet the king. Tefillah needs preparation. Shabbos needs preparation. Where am I up to? Here we go. So the last two were Rav Safra would singe the head of the animal. Rava would prepare the special by salting the Shibuta fish. Rav Huna madlik shirage. Rav Huna would light the lamps for Shabbos. Footnote. Although it is generally interesting, the women who light the Shabbos candles, Rav Huna's home, was illuminated with many lamps. He made it a point to light some of them himself. Indeed, it was Rav Huna, earlier in Masechah Shabbos 23b, who lauded those who are especially diligent in lighting Shabbos candles, stating, you will merit sons who are Torah scholars if you're diligent with lighting Shabbos candles, but in his home, perhaps there were torches or many lamps, he made sure to light them for a Shabbos. Rav Papa would twine the wicks for the lamps. Rav Chista would mince the beets. He was making salad. It's unbelievable. Okay. Rav Chista Parim Silka. We know Silka from one of the Simanim, Rosh Hashanah. He would mince the beets. Rav Chista would mince the beets. I said that. Rabbi and Rav Yosef would split the wood. Rav Zeira would kindle the fire. Okay. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak would lift up the bundles of Shabbos good and bring them out in, and lift up bundles and take them out. He was bringing Shabbos stuff into his house. The footnote explains he was making room. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak will go in and out of the house many times on Friday to bring in furniture and bundles of special clothing and food for Shabbos. He would carry packages out as well. The Torah and Shulchan Aruch explained he carried out the weekday items, so I don't know how big their homes were and how much room they had. Shabbos is different, so he would take out the weekday items and he would bring in the Shabbos items. Unbelievable. Amar, he said, in terms of what he was doing, he said, if Rav Ami and Rav Asi were to visit me, would I not lift up the bundles in front of me and carry them out to honor them? Should I do any less for the honor of Shabbos? So you see what Pinchas brings us here is very, very important, and that is that the gives a true meaning and elevation to Shabbos preparation. We've spoken about welcoming Shabbos with Rina. We've spoken about having the house prepared, having, you know, you're not rushed when the guests come to your door. But this is gives a lot of kedusha and your word validation to what we do on Erev Shabbos. It's good. Okay, you put on your black smock. It's wonderful. Let the children see it. Let them be involved. Yeah.
But it's interesting that they all did their Erev Shabbos preparation in different ways. You know, like one went to the market, but he still had his servants prepare the meat. And another one
singed the head of the meat.
Left money so that he would have the meat. Like they all, it's not like there's a specific way to do it, it seems.
Very nice, beautiful. So what are you saying? What's the Mr. Haskell? Let's bring a lesson. You're right. It's a very nice point.
Right.
So what do we learn?
So I think what I'm thinking is that we, Erev Shabbos preparation is very important, but maybe, I don't know if it has to be like, you know, almost like they say that it's good to have a mitzvah that is our mitzvah that we hold on to strongly.
Right.
So maybe like in terms of our Erev Shabbos preparation, there should be something that we always do consistently to show that we are preparing for Shabbos.
Very nice.
Shabbos is very important to us.
But also it shows that everyone's avodas Hashem is personal and unique. Mm-hmm. As long as you are an Eved Hashem in your way. So one person puts on the smock, like you said. One person fans the fire in his ivory stool. One person singes that of the animal. One person salts the fish. Every home is different. Every person is different. Every mahalach, as long as you're within the confines of halacha, is different. But you should know that you have a special approach to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Beautiful. Very, very nice nakuda. Very nice. Yes.
I'm going to say also, like, you know me, like, I'm so not... You know me, I'm so not like a gender, like feminist, whatever. But I think this is an important Gemara to teach the Yeshiva Bachar. Right. These were the men doing these Shabbos preparation jobs. You know, that like the involvement of the men in the Shabbos preparation.
I forgot which Gadol it was. It's brought to him a Gadol bag. He may have heard the story that one of the Bachar asked about a school official on Bais to fold your talis. Do you know the story? So he says, school official on bias, go sweep the floor.
Right.
That's the school official. You understand? Okay, you can follow the talis, of course, but that's the school. The school is go home and help your wife. Okay, so it's two very important kudos. You're right. You're both right. That's why, because Shabbos preparation is not gender specific. It's not only the woman who has to prepare. It's not only the man who has to prepare. He's talking to all of us. Everyone has to prepare. What Shabbos, anything else from the other ladies? Comments, questions? Yeah, you're saying to say. You're thinking about a few saying to say. You're thinking about a few saying to say.
No, it's just fascinating.
Honestly,
like, it doesn't mention the
woman. Wait, I can't hear two at once.
When the nobles lived here, so Erev Shabbos, I went with all my kids every Erev Shabbos to visit them. The Rabbi and Rabbi Noble.
1 second. What did she say?
Rabbi Noble, when Rabbi and Rabbi Noble lives here, she took her children to visit them every Erev Shabbos, which is amazing.
Which
is incredible.
For like years. But Rabbi Noble would sit there and like the candles were like his thing. Like he had to make sure that they were like polished right. He would have to set it up a certain way. Like we would get there and he was so focused. And that's what I'm thinking of, like the men, that's all he would do. He would sit there and take care of like
the candles.
That was his thing. And that was his contribution.
So we saw the one who, Rav Huna, I think it was, who would light the lamps.
He would sit there and make sure they followed.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because my husband puts the oil in my candles. But I realized that we were having the shiur this morning, and I polished my Lysar. And when I put it back, my kids were all like, oh my gosh, it's silver. We thought it was gold. He didn't take care of the polish.
Okay, but Shabbos preparations do for us. The Medrash tells us about the great importance of Shabbos. Okay? Said Rav Elazar, I'm on page 17. The Medrash tells us about the great importance of Shabbos. Said Rav Elazar bar Avina. We find it written in the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Kesuvim in Tanakh, in each one of the Tanakh section, starting with Ksuv, that Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvahs. So Kosh Baruch Hu said to the people of Israel, if you are worthy and keep Shabbos, I consider as though you kept all the mitzvahs in the Torah. If you desecrate, I consider as though you desecrated all the mitzvahs. So if you look at the footnote, as the footnote always tells you where it's coming from, it's Medrash Shmos Rabbah 25:2. I went to look it up. I wasn't sure if it was going to be in Parashas Yisrael, which is the Aseres HaDibros, where we actually get the commands, Zachor Sam Shabbos Kacho, Perachav, or in Bishalach, because in Bishalach, Sham Samlo Chok Mishpat Visham Nisa'u, when we Moshe sweetened the waters by throwing in a stick, and we got certain categories of mitzvos. And Rashi says, what do we get? Shabbos, Kibur of Aim or Paraduma, it depends if it was a Pei, Aleph or a Chav, Aleph K, Shabbos, Kibur of Aim slash Paraduma, and Dinin, monetary laws, Shabbos and Para Aduma. So it's actually Bishalach. So the first time we're actually commanded about Shabbos is not by Matan Torah. It's prior to Matan Torah in Parashas Bishalach. So, but not in the Pshat. Sham Samlo Chok Umishpa. So we got some Chukim, Para Aduma as a Chok, Umishpa, Dinin, and Shabbos. Perhaps you could say is a bridge between Chukim and Mishpatim. So I went to look up the Medrash. So I'm now quoting the Medrash Shmos Rabbah 25:12. Okay. Amar Rabbi Levi, im mishmarim Yisrael asar Shabbos kura'ui, afilu yom echar ben David bach. This was also the incentive for the Shabbos project. The Medrash says, if the people of Israel would observe the Shabbos properly, even for one day, meaning one Shabbos, then King David, it says ben David bach. Who's ben David? Mashiach, of course. So the footnote does tell you, by the way, that the Gemara Masecha Shabbos Kuf Yod Ches 118 teaches if you observe two Shabbos, you would be redeemed. Is it two according to the Gemara, is it one according to the Medrash? The point is that we've observed Shabbos properly as a klal, one or two, ben Mashiach would come. Lama? Why? Listen to this. Shehi shekula keneged kol hamitzvos. Because Shabbos is equal to kol hamitzvos. V'cheinu omer kihu elokeinu v'anachnu an mariso, he is our God, we are the flock of his, he is our shepherd, v'tzon hu yado, and the flock of his hand, hayom im bekolo sishmu. Today, if you listen to his voice, and I believe I quoted in this class, that it'll be Anavi met Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi met Elio Anavi in the marketplace, it was Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, and he said to him, I think it was Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, does anyone remember who it was? Said to Eliyahu HaNavi, when you come, and he said, Hayom im b'kol tishmu. So he said, Hayom im b'kol tishmu. He said, Hayom. So he said, Hayom. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, Hayom im b'kol tishmu. Today, if you listen to my voice, I'm coming. So Mashiach said, yeah, I'm coming today. If you listen to my voice. This is the pasuk that the Medrash quotes to teach you that Shabbos is keneged kol mitzvos b'Torah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. I think it was Rabbi Shimon Levi. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Israel, Afal pi shenasati kitzba l'keit sheyavo. Hashem says, I've established a fixed time for the end of exile when Mashiach will arrive. We know that Mashiach can arrive in one of two ways. Either b'ita or achishena. Will it come in its time or it will come before its time? So if necessary, and we don't bring it before its time, so Hashem says there's a keit. That is what Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal on his deathbed to his children. B'keish l'galus is a keit. He wanted to reveal the end. It was hidden from him. He wasn't able to. But Hashem says, I've established a kate. There will be an end to this gala. Sometimes it seems like it will never end. We believe and we know it will end. Bein osin teshuvah, bein she'enan osin be'ono, so hudba. If the people of Israel do teshuvah, if they don't do teshuvah, it will come in a scheduled time. However, im osin teshuvah, afilu yom echad, but if the people of Israel repent, even for one day, and he may be also shalom be'onosa, we won't have to wait for its time. Mashiach would finally come. Havei, like the Pasuk says, Hayom im b'kol tishmu. When is Mashiach coming? Today. But today is contingent upon if you listen to his voice, meaning if we repent. U'kashem shematzinu. So I'll call a mitzvah ben David. But we find that for teshuvah and for performing all the commandments, ben David will come, Mashiach will come. Al shmiras yom echad shal Shabbos ben David ba. So even if we are not bucky and we have not repented for all the mitzvos, ben David will come. If we keep one Shabbos, he would come immediately. And that is, wasn't that the incentive for the Shabbos project? I'm asking, yes, was it? Someone in South Africa, where is he from?
South Africa.
Started it. So here you go. Lefi shahashabbos shekula kenegad kol hamitzvos. So when we keep the Shabbos, we have to keep in mind that this is shekula kenegad kol hamitzvos, which is, you're going to see in the footnote, which I will quote from in a moment, we are accustomed to think of Shabbos as one of the basic mitzvos. What is the phrase that's used to determine if a Jew is what we call observant or from? What do we say? Are they shomer Shabbos? That's what we tend to say. Why? Because Shabbos is shekula kenegad kol hamitzvos. Continues the Medrash. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avina. Rabbi Elazar bar Avina said, Matzinu, this is the quote, you see in your Sefer, Rabbi Elazar bar Avina says, I'm up to the quote from the Sefer, we have found, Batorah, Banavim, Ubakesuvim, Sheshkula Shabbos, Kenega Kol Mitzvos. We found in the Torah, in Nevi'im, and Kesuvim, that Shabbos is equal to all the Mitzvos. The Medrash then goes to bring a proof from each one, Pasuk from Torah, Pasuk from Nevi'im, Pasuk from Kesuvim, to prove that Shabbos is equal to all the Mitzvos in the Torah. Amar Lamakosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Im Tizku Lishmar Shabbos, Ma'ala Ani Aleichem Kilu Shmartim Kol Mitzvah Shabbatar. By the way, you have to be careful with this. That doesn't mean for people on our level, Chas Shalom, it doesn't mean you could talk Lashon Hara. No one should think that. And I don't know, Ina Kosher. I heard Rav Shai Shechler say something very interesting. I was listening to an online shiur. He said, when a person, Lo Aleinu, is an Onim, there are certain mitzvahs that they don't do. They can't make brachos, I think they can't dab, and the men won't put on tefillin, is that correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone should be zochet to rikus yamim and shamim. Yamim and shanim and mevesum shana. So you don't have to do certain mitzvos. I'm laying this on purpose. He said that, you know, I think he said he got a shayla, actually. Do you have to keep kosher when you're an onim? I'm not making fun, we should never know. He got a shayla, okay. He says, yes, you have to keep kosher when you're an onim. It's not a blanket, Heter to go be mechalo. There are certain mitzvahs al pi'alacha that a person is not involved in. So I'm bringing that up here because I think it's relevant. You shouldn't think just because you left here and we learned, then whoever's listening online from Montreal, that you shouldn't think now, you know, as long as I keep Shabbos properly, everything else doesn't matter. As long as I keep Shabbos, it's shkula kenegad kol mitzvah. So that's like calling Rav Shai Shechter and saying, do I have to eat kosher when I'm an onin? He said, yes, you have to eat kosher when you're an onin, just because you're not putting on tefillah and making your brachos. So too, it's not a heter to go leave here and not talk Lashon Hara and go buy not kosher and serve basar b'challah, but I keep Shabbos properly. So just, you have to be aware of that. While we are keeping everything else, we have to keep in mind how the Medrash is really teaching us how chashuv Shabbos is, that it is equal to ma'ale ani aleichem kiddush shmartim kol mitzvah shabbatorah. If you keep Shabbos properly, I consider if you kept all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Ve'im chilaltem oso. What does chol really mean? Like mechalal Shabbos. What's the root word? Mechvir mechalal Shabbos. Chas Sham. So chol, it means weekday. You make Shabbos profane. Something is very interesting. My boys are in 8th grade in Darche, and they do Darche. It's very important. An Adopt a Survivor project. It's the 75th year since the liberation of Auschwitz and the end of the Holocaust, and the survivors should be at Me'avesim Shana, they are dwindling. But Mr. You know him, he lives in Woodmere, Mickey Goldschmidt. Mm-hmm. So my son, I took him in the summer, and we were there mamash for 4 hours, two-hour sessions where my son interviewed him. But he said something very interesting. In Hungary, they did not call challah challah. I don't have it in front of me. They called it something else. But he says, what's challah? Mr. Mickey Goldschmidt, Amosh said to us, he says, challah is a piece you take off. It's really true. What's the bracha? Lahafrish challah min ha'isa. The challah, he said, is a piece you take off and you burn. The challah is not what's left. The challah is what's removed. Challah really means profane or chol. It's very, very interesting. I know. There's a word for it. I don't know. My son has in his notes. I don't remember what it was, but he's from Hungary, and I thought it was very, very interesting because it's actually correct. Challah, he said, is a piece you take off. Mechalal Shabbat. Mechalal Shabbos im chilaltem osa. Mali ani aleichem ki'ilu chilaltem kol mitzvos. Chol, it means when you profane something. So you're profaning the Shabbos. I don't remember what it's called. I could try and look it up later and send it out on the WhatsApp if anyone is interested. Okay. I'm skipping a little. Then it brings some psukim to prove this. V'lo od ela kol ma sha'ata ochel ba'olam haza eino ela min ha'peros aval karen kayamas l'chal l'olam haba. We're used to saying that by Eli Devar, but here the Medrash says it about Shabbos. The benefit that you reap in this world from Shabbos is just the fruits of the tree, but the roots and the real reward are not in this world for keeping Shabbos. They are in the next world. But I want to make sure to quote from the insights. I'm quoting from the Medrash Rabbasad Art School, and they have many, many insights on the bottom. So the insights. Excuse me. A day of faith. Okay, so we have just learned that Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. We have just learned that one who is mechal Shabbos is as if he desecrates ma'ala ani aleichem kilu chilaltem kol mitzvos. It's as if he desecrated all mitzvos. And if, according to the Medrash here, if you keep one Shabbos properly, Ben David would come. A day of faith. These are the insights. We are accustomed to think of Shabbos as one of the most basic mitzvos, which is why it's common to hear people say about a frum yid, he is a, it's the, you know, delineating line of if a person is Torah observant. Shomer Shabbos has become shorthand for someone who is generally an observant Jew. But the enthusiastic acclamations of the Shabbos in our Medrash, which we just learned, go well beyond that. We are taught that just one Shabbos, properly observed, could bring the long-awaited final redemption. And who is not waiting for this long-awaited final redemption? And not only is Shabbos equal to all the other mitzvahs combined, but the Medrash has told us, it is clearly emphasized in Torah, in Nevi'im, and in the Ksuvim. Clearly, Shabbos is Yesod HaYesodos, from the foundation of all foundations. And we need to understand and we need to explain why Shabbos over any other mitzvah. There's many, many important mitzvahs. What about Yom Kippur? I know it only comes once a year, but still, what about Taras HaMashpacha? They're all very important. But why is Shabbos considered like the demarcation of if a person is from? Why is Shabbos, if you keep this perfectly, then Mashiach will come? And it's a very, very interesting chiddush that is brought down here. The commentators sketch a vision. What time is it? The commentators sketch a vision of the Shabbos that illuminates these teachings. Observance of Shabbos is not merely a matter of following the laws. It is a dual commandment of there's a declaration of utmost faith. We are told, we're opening the book of Shmos, Zachar Siyam HaShabbos Kacho, and we are told, Shamar Siyam HaShabbos Kacho. That's when Moshe reviews the Torah in Parshas V'achanan. Shamar, observe, guard, refers to the laws of Shabbos. Refrain from malacha. And by refraining from malacha, by not lighting candles on Shabbos, you sanctify the day. Zachar, remember, relates to the spiritual underpinnings of the holy Shabbos. The Rambam codifies, says Yud Gimel Ikarim, 13 principles of faith, Yud Gimel Ikarim Amuna. Rav Yosef Albo, in his Sefer HaIkarim, sets forth 3 principles that encompass all of the Yud Gimel Karim. So the Rambam says there are 13 principles of faith. But along comes Rav Yosef Albo, and he says there are 3 general principles that encompass all those 13. What are the 3 general principles of the life of a believing Jew? Number 1, the existence of God. I'm reading, I just finished last night. I was so sorry I finished. Such an interesting book. It's called The Rabbi and the Nuns. My kids are on the cancer, like, Mommy, what is it? It was so interesting, by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. You read it?
I've read parts of it.
He served for 20 years as the chief of St. Francis Hospital in Philadelphia, and he treated many nuns and priests, and it says about his experience during that time. It's fascinating. Why am I telling you this? Oh, because the first general principle of a believing Jew is the existence of God. So one priest comes into him who's struggling with his faith. So he says to him, you know, it's more irrational not to believe in God than to believe in God. To believe that everything that came into existence, you have to work so hard to deny that there is a supreme being who created the world. The first principle of faith is existence of God. Second principle of faith, Torah is minas shamayim. Third principle of faith, reward and punishment. So Rav Yosef Albo says in the Rambam's 13 principles, you can find each one fits into one of these 3. Existence of God, Torah minas shamayim, schar and onus, reward and punishment. All 3 are found in Shabbos. How so? The Torah states, Zachar Slam HaShabbos Sakacha, remember Shabbos day to keep it holy, Ki Sheishas Yamim Asa Hashem, Asa Shemayim Vesar. So when we keep Shabbos, we testify to the fact that we bear witness that God created the world, the existence of the Creator. So that's the most basic. Shabbos testifies that why do we keep Shabbos? Because Hashem created and rested. So we create, we prepare, we cook, we fan the flames, we salt the fish, we go to the 13 different butchers because Hashem created, and now we rest. So the first principle is there is a Creator who created this world. Our observance of Shabbos testifies to that. 2, the second one is that Torah is min hashamayim. The Shabbos is a day set aside for study of Torah. With each word of Torah uttered, one proclaims his belief in the divine origin of Torah. So also I heard Rav Shai Shechter a while ago say this in a shir, that on the short Shabbos, I believe, sometimes between Mincha Marv, they have, I don't remember the exact lashon which he said it, but he said, why is it so important that the shul has shiurim Shabbos afternoon? He says, because you can't have Shabbos pass without some degree of Torah learning. And some people will not learn Torah on their own, so if the shul offers a shiur, then people have access to a shiur. You cannot let Shabbos pass without some sort of Torah learning. Shabbos is a day set aside for the study of Torah. Each word of Torah uttered, you proclaim your belief in the divine origin of Torah. That means when the kindergarten kid fills in the blanks or he answers the most basic questions at the Shabbos table, or the elementary school child brings home a Dvar Torah that you heard 100 times. Remember the Kichos Mishpacha before Pesach, and the kid was saying, you know, about the perfume shop from Har Sinai? Did anyone see that Kichos? Oh, that was great. So even if you've heard the Dvar Torah 100 times, like the perfume shop and Dayenu, every word of Torah is proclaiming belief in the divine origin of Torah, bequeathed to us at Sinai by God himself. Furthermore, since Shabbos is one of the Seres HaDibros given to us at Har Sinai, we testify to our faith in Torah Minishamayim. Third was reward and punishment. Third principle, world has a creator. Torah is Kmini Shemayim, reward and punishment. Shabbos is described as Me'ein Olam Haba, Maseches Brachos 57b. Olam Haba is called Yom Shekula Shabbos. And we see that Olam Haba and Shabbos correlate to each other. How so? The granting of reward and the administering of punishment for our deeds takes place primarily in the world to come. So Shabbos foreshadows the world to come. It's symbolic of the principle of reward and punishment. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It makes us think of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the place where HaKaren Kayam is, so hopefully we will have enough mitzvahs to get reward. I once heard there's something very nice in the name of Rabbi Akiva Tatz, which is why Shabbos Me'ein Olam Haba, which brings our share full circle to how we started. When you get to Olam Haba, you can't prepare anymore. Whatever chasad, mitzvahs, Torah, you did tzedakah, you did down here, you're going to get the reward in the next world. But let's say you spent your life not being involved in Torah mitzvahs and chesed and tzedakah, you didn't do anything, then you get up to Shemayim, you say, okay, I'm ready for my reward. What's Hashem? What are they going to say in the beast in? You didn't prepare. Misha Torah Berav Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba. Both Olam Haba and Shabbos require preparation, just like the exam. You can't come to the exam and say, now I'm starting to prepare. You can't come to Shabbos, what time is it today, 4:35, I don't know, and say, okay, now I'm going to prepare for Shabbos. No, now you're going to prepare Shabbos. You have to salt the fish and singe the head and go to 13 butchers and fan the fire. Not now, before. So too, Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. On May Vesem Shalom, you get up to the base then, you're going to say, now I'm going to prepare for the Schar Olam Haba? It's a little too late. So Shabbos reminds us of Schar and Onesh. Where does Schar and Onesh really take place? Not here, in the next world. A person cannot claim to have truly fulfilled the Shabbos obligation until he has sanctified the act of Shmira by engaging in Zechira. If you remember Shabbos, you will guard Shabbos. If you have Zachar, Shamar Shabbos, you will do Shamar. On Shabbos, you must remember the creator of all, whose act of creation is commemorated in Shabbos. You must remember the revelation at Sinai through your study of Torah. And finally, one must remember Israel's future hope, the time of final redemption, when it will be a yom that is Kula Shabbos. And therefore, Shabbos is a mitzvah like no other. It brings together in one observance the most essential principles of our faith. So of course we can't talk Lashon Hara. Of course we have to dress tzanua. Of course we have to eat kosher. However, why is Shabbos Kula connect Kol Mitzvos V'Torahs? Can we just prove, not us quoting, we have just proved because it equals the most essential principles of our faith. The teaching of the Medrash is now entirely understandable. If all of Israel were to observe one Shabbos, all of Israel would be testifying that Hashem is the Borei Olam, Torah is Min HaShemayim, and we believe in Olam Haba. And if all of Israel would testify to that even for one day, and surely, wow, Mashiach would come, the children of God, their faith restored, will have proved themselves worthy of the ultimate redemption and will not be withheld any longer. So, Be'ezras Hashem, we should so be Zocha. Does anyone have questions? Okay,